The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
What an amazing day this is. I'm so excited that you're with me. I'm excited to be able to share with you a teaching that just gets me pumped up every time. I'm telling you, as I've listened over some of these last few weeks and what we've done, this never gets old, people. This teaching we've been going through never gets old. We've spent a few weeks now discussing and looking in depth at Romans chapter 6. In fact, we've gone weeks, and I think now we're about to get into verse 4 this week. But there's so much meat here. This isn't something you just read over and think you got it. Look, I did that for years, for decades, okay? I read and said, oh, I've read Romans chapter 6 a bunch of times. Yeah, it's got a lot of sin information in there. It's good stuff. I believe it. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. There's too much in there just to glance past it. We've got to meditate on the Word. Study the Word. And I'm hoping that this is an opportunity for you to do that. These teachings are posted on our website, truthinfusion.com, truthinfusion.com. Go there. Look under ministries, radio. You can listen to these. If you've just now got involved, go back. Listen to the sin nature teachings. If you desire to have all of these in full, email me. I'll figure out how to get them on CD and send them to you. I've already got one group that's using these teachings, these radio programs, as a study guide, so to speak, to help them learn through this. I mean, it's actually a group that deals with different addictions and problems that they're trying to break free from in this world. That's what this is about. Perfect study for that kind of class, that type of group. And they're taking these teachings on the sin nature, and they're listening to these 30-minute shows, and then they're spending time discussing among each other. That's exactly what I desire this to be for. Because that's what it'll do. It'll set you free. It'll get you to a place where you recognize the enemy within, the sin nature that is the source of all of our difficulties and our problems. And I'm hoping that this goes farther than just a 30-minute show on that you may or may not catch. I'm hoping you grab a hold of this and you use it for everything it's worth. And look, it's God through me that's doing this. It's not my words that's got the power. It's the Word of God that has power to set men free. Okay, so last week, we took apart verse 3. I want to just give you a quick summary. Then we're going to spend time in verse 4. We may get to verse 5. I don't know. I'm not putting time constraints on this. I'm just doing it as the Holy Spirit gives it. But last week, verse 3, Romans chapter 6. Okay, I want to read it to you, and then I want to give you the highlights that we're going to get into verse 4, because this builds on itself. Paul is building a case. Really, what he's doing is answering a question. So if you really want to review, go back to verse 1. The guy asks the question, do we continue in sin so that sin may, so that grace may abound? Should we continue living in sin the way we used to so that grace can be great and mighty and powerful in our life? Paul says, God forbid. Don't you know that your relationship with the sin nature has changed? How are you going to keep living in it? It's impossible, Paul says. Go back and get the teachings. I can't do it all. Verse 2, that he explains that the sin nature, the relationship has changed in your life. So the question is, okay, great, Paul, I believe you. How does that happen? Well, he begins to tell you in verse 3 how that happens. When he says in verse 3, don't you know that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus and were baptized into his death? Now, that word baptized, don't think about water, throw that concept out. Replace baptized with the phrase to be placed into or placed into. Let me say it again like this. Don't you know, verse 3, that so many of us were placed into Jesus Christ? And we were placed into his death. And we spent the majority of last week discussing that being placed into Christ was done in the mind and the eyes of God. You were melted together or merged together. You were put into this vital union with Christ that was, in God's eyes, you would not be separated from Him. And it's not just a present-day union. It's one that God, in His infinite ability, can place you into union with Christ when He was alive back, way back when, 2,000 years ago. How do I know that? Because the next part of verse 3 says, you were placed into His death. You know what? He died 2,000 years ago, didn't He? He didn't die last week. Didn't die last year. It was 2,000 years ago on a Roman cross that Christ gave His life. And Paul said, you and I were placed into that death. We were placed into a union with Christ in God's mind that allowed God to see us in that crucifixion scene. Where? At the foot of the cross? Standing down the hill looking up at the cross? No, no, no. We were placed into His death at the cross. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. In other words, God looked down from that cross and He didn't see Jesus dying there. He saw you, brother. I don't know how God does it. I just know that He did. Thank you. Thank you, God Almighty. When He looked down, He saw me hanging there, bleeding and dying. Why is that important? Because Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin, the price that you get paid, that which you earn for your sin. What is a wage? Let's just break it down. What are wages? You go to work, you earn a wage. That is the money or the price that you deserve to be paid for what you've done. 6:23 of Romans. What you have earned because of your sin is death, period. End of the sentence. But what does Romans chapter 6, verse 7 tell us? This is beautiful. I want you to memorize this. It's powerful, powerful teaching. Romans chapter 6, 7. For he who has died has been freed from the sin nature. So why is it important that God look down at the cross and see you and I? Because Jesus was perfect when He was hung on that cross. And so God allowed us to be placed into that death of Jesus, substituted in there. And we, when Jesus said, it is finished, and He hung His head and died, God substituted us there, and our sin debt was paid for. Amen. That means that we get all the benefits without having to go through the pain, the agony, the torment of the cross. Jesus did it for us. And God said, I've placed you, in my mind, I've placed you into Christ, and I've placed you into that death. And anyone who has died has been freed from the power of the sin nature. Okay? Step one, we've been placed into Christ in the mind of God. Step two, we've been placed into His death. Now, we're going to turn our attention to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. So if you're driving in your car, don't pull your Bible out. Let me read it to you. All right? Let me read it to you. It says, therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism. Again, I'm going to take baptism out. I'm going to place to be placed into right there because I don't want baptism throwing you off. So let me read it again with that substitution. Therefore, we were buried with Him, and that Him is capitalized. It means Jesus. We were buried with Him through being placed into His death. Now, I want to stop just right there. Step three, we were placed into His burial. You see, we were joined and merged into this vital union with Christ. So in God's mind, in His eyes, we are going through the cross process with Jesus. Are you with me? This is what I want you to see, the beauty of being placed into Christ. I mean, I'm telling you, when I saw this, when God revealed this to me and I understood it, it brought me to tears, literal tears. It broke my heart because I understood what the demand in the law of God meant for sin. I understood that we had to die. I understood that He required a perfect sacrifice that had to bleed and had to die. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand that I can't fulfill the perfect part, so the bleeding and the dying, if you're not perfect, it's all for nothing. I can't do it. I can't do that. But Jesus could. So how does that all work? How does a man that dies 2,000 years ago affect my life today? How can there be, you know, how does that work out? That's what Romans 3 of chapter 6, verse 3, 4, and 5 is. And it starts with understanding we were placed in the mind and the heart and the eyes of God. We were placed into Christ Jesus. We were merged together with Him so that God saw us go through the death, burial, and resurrection with Him. We were placed into His death. So when He hung His head and died, it was like God seeing us dying. Then it didn't stop there. This is awesome. When the body of Jesus was placed into that tomb, God saw our body of sin. We were merged with Him. We were in Him. God saw us, our body of sin that hung on that cross and died. All that sin, He saw it buried away. Stone rolled in front of it. Never to rise again, that body of sin and death. This is beautiful, the thought. You and I, we may remember the past, the wrongs that have been done to us, the wrongs we have done to others. We may recall those things from time to time. God doesn't recall what He buried away. Do you hear me? God doesn't remember that which He buried away. And we were placed into His burial, Paul said in Romans 6, 4. We were merged with Him, and God saw us placed in that tomb. That sin-ridden, destroyed body that paid for sin, that paid the price. He saw that sin tucked away forever. One of the most influential people in my life was a lady named Lynn. And she was married to my father for, 10 years or better, I guess. Beautiful, wonderful lady. Spiritual warrior. She was one that looked at God and the Bible and the things of faith with that childlike faith. I can't really describe her to you all at once. But she taught me so much. Taught me how to pray. Taught me, gave me real life example when I looked at her of someone who really trusted and lived a faith-based trust in God. I got to see that in her, to learn by her example. Very humble, sweet, sweet person. She was diagnosed with cancer, and we buried her 6 months later, to the day, honestly. Very difficult. I was just out of high school. Very difficult situation for me to rationalize that stage and that time in my life. But here's one word that God gave me through that. Don't ever tell me that sin, I'm sorry, let me say that again. Don't ever tell me that cancer won that battle that she fought so valiantly for 6 months. Don't you ever try to convince me that she struggled against it and she lost. No, sir. Because today, she's walking the streets of glory, whole and very much alive, and that cancer is buried in a box 6 foot under the ground. Never to rise again. Never to infect another life again. Never to claim another life again. She won because she took that mess and she planted it in the ground as she walked into glory. And just the same way, praise God, hallelujah, we were merged into Christ and we were placed into His death and we were placed into His burial. And God buried that sin junk away and He rolled a stone against that entrance and it will never, no, never, it will never resurrect in the mind of God again. Step 3, we were buried with Christ and that sin was locked away where it deserved to be. You come back. We're going to finish verse 4 right on the other side of the break.
Do you or your loved one need the support of Compassionate Home Healthcare Services? Truth Infusion Ministries would love to recommend Kelton Home Health for your home health needs. They offer skilled nursing care, home health aides, and multiple forms of therapy, all in the comfort of your home. For more information, call 903-796-4040. That's 903-796-4040. Kelton Home Health, enriching lives every day.
I have a little assignment for you. I want you to go to truthinfusion.com. If you look on the homepage, you'll see the area where you can put your information in to receive our monthly newsletter. Now, this will give you all the recent updates and the things going on in the ministry so that you'll know what to pray for and what to expect in the upcoming days and weeks from Truth Infusion. God bless you. Until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Jeremiah of Cross Life Church, Atlanta, Texas. I am excited to share with you, we are in the developing stages of a church plant that is simple, missional, and spirit-filled. Cross Life has a desire to encourage God's people to pursue His presence, His power, and to reach people with love relationships. It is a simple philosophy. Love God and love people. Join us as we make much of Jesus. For more information, check out jeremiahmossministries.com.
All right, now we're going to finish up verse 4 today. There's some power here that, you know, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I can't get it to you in all of its grandeur and all of its power, but hopefully He can help me to lay this out. We began in verse 4 reading, we were buried with Him through baptism or being placed into His death. Now the rest of verse 4 says this. This is wonderful. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Let me read that again. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Now, step 3, we were buried with Christ. We were placed into His burial. Step 4, we were placed into His resurrection. And I wish I could say that word resurrection with all caps and a huge font, all right? We were placed into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just like Christ was raised from the dead, even so, we also can walk in resurrection life. Newness of life is what He says in verse 4. When God saw Christ go into that tomb, in His mind, He saw you and I be placed into that tomb. But when Christ came walking out of that tomb on Sunday morning, when Christ came walking out of that tomb very much alive with a glorified body of power, no sin hanging on Him, no blood dripping from His fingers, from His toes. No, He was perfect in every way. And when He walked out in newness of life, God saw you and I walking out in newness of life. Now, let's clarify this. Isn't that unbelievable? Unbelievable. Now, newness of life. Let me teach you on this real quick. When Paul says newness of life, he's not talking about a new way to live or a new way to act, or a new way to talk, or a new way to think. He's not saying that that Christ came out of there living differently, living, acting, walking, talking new. That's not what that's talking about. The newness of life here is talking about a new source of power. Jesus walked out of that tomb living, acting, talking, and thinking under a new source of imparted power. And when we walked out of that tomb, we came a walking out in the eyes of God, operating under new power, newly imparted power. Now, I spoke to you earlier. I think it was maybe last week, about blenders. Do you remember that? I hope you were with me. I referred to the sin nature that we are born with as like a blender. And it don't have to be a blender. It can be anything you plug into a wall. That's the point that I'm trying to make. But I like to call it the sin blender. So your sin nature, that thing that was controlling your life, that was producing sin in your life, had the plug to the blender plugged into a power source, and it was controlling you. When you came to Christ and you said yes to the redemptive plan, God reached down supernaturally into your heart and unplugged that blender of sin that was the motor that was running the spiritual power of your life. He unplugged it from its power source. And what happened? It shut down. Okay? At the same time that took place, in the mind of God, he looked down at Christ coming out of that tomb in newness of life with a new power source. And so what did God do in effect? Now, this is just an illustration to help you understand. He reached down into your life with a brand new blender. We're going to call it the divine blender. The one that you should have been operating on to begin with, the one that Adam had in the garden, but he lost. Remember that? He had that divine nature, but he ate of the fruit, he disobeyed God, and at that moment, the divine spirit, the divine nature, the Holy Spirit left him, and the sin nature rose to life. Just the opposite took place when you got saved because of what Christ did at the cross. You were controlled by the sin nature. That sin blender was plugged in and operational. But when you said yes, this is so important that you grasp this. You said yes to Jesus. God reached down in a way that only he could. He yanked on the cord, that power cord of the sin blender, the sin nature, and powered down the sin nature. It turned off. And at the same time, he placed into your heart what Adam had. But Adam lost the divine nature. The Holy Spirit took up residence in you. Amen. He turned loose the Holy Spirit in your life, and he plugged in the divine blender, the Holy Spirit. He plugged in the power that you should have had to begin with, the one that he wanted you to have to begin with. You walked out of that tomb in the eyes of God with Christ with a new source of power. A new spiritual nature plugged in and operating, controlling your life. So again, the very opposite thing that happened to Adam in the garden happened to you. It happened in reverse. Let me say it that way. Adam had perfect divine nature, the Holy Spirit, but he lost it. And at that very moment, not 5 minutes later, at the very moment that the divine nature departed when Adam rebelled against God, the sin nature came to life, and that became the driving factor in his life. But Paul tells us in Romans 6 verse 2 that your relationship with the sin nature was forever changed. How did that happen? Let's go through the steps. Step 1, you said yes to Jesus and you were placed into Jesus. That's what it says in verse 3. You were baptized into Jesus or placed into Jesus. Step 2, what happened? God saw you placed into his death. In the mind and the eyes of God, you went through the process that it took to pay the price for your sin. Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost. He hung his head and died, but God didn't see Jesus hang his head and die. He saw you hang your head and die. The beautiful thing is that you didn't really have to do it. Jesus did it for you. But you were substituted in there. You were placed in Christ. You were placed into his death. Then number 3, God saw them place you in the tomb because you and I were placed into his burial. And that sin, that body of sin that Christ died for, was locked away forever. Then step four happened. As we were placed into his resurrection, he walked out of the tomb, not in the sin-filled body, but in a new body with a new power source. And then God, in his eyes, in his mind, in his amazing ability, he saw you and I walk out of that tomb in a new power source with now the divine nature controlling our life. We went from sin nature to immediately having the divine nature controlling us. The divine nature, the Holy Spirit. Why is it, how is it that the sin nature no longer has that relationship with us that it used to? Do you understand now? Because God unplugged the power, broke the power of the sin nature, and infilled us with the Holy Spirit, who is the divine nature, and now that is the controlling nature in our life. And what does that do for you and me? I mean, so many things. Let me just give you a few important ones that we're going to continue down the road in several other of these teachings to expose. Number one, the divine nature, the Holy Spirit, causes us for the first time ever when we get saved to hate sin and to love righteousness. You couldn't do that before because the sin nature was controlling you. Number two, the divine nature, the Holy Spirit, our new power source, gives us the desire and the power to do God's will. Let me show you that in the Word. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Let me read you this real quick as we come to an end of today's show. Paul writes in Philippians, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." I want you to hear this in verse 13. "For it is God who works in you." Now, who is God in you? Holy Spirit, right? He is God inside of us. "It is God in you who works both to will and to do his good pleasure." Now, I just told you that the Holy Spirit gives us the desire and the power to do God's will. The desire is to will, and the power is to do. He said, he works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. He gives us the power, the desire to do God's will. For the first time ever, that's what Romans 6:4 tells you. After God saw you walk out of that tomb alive with the Holy Spirit as your power source, you can now hate sin and love righteousness for the first time. You now have the desire to do God's will and the ability to do God's will. That's enough for today. Go back and pull this up on the internet and listen to this again and again. Get this into your spirit. It will change the way you see the cross and what it meant for your life. And you'll begin to understand how the sin nature was broken. So you go look at it again. Read these words again. Let this sink into your heart and change your life. And until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.